Hey guys, this is Colin from Blackjack Apprenticeship, and I am here with Peacock, who is willing to spend a little bit of time telling us about his card counting journey, which I think is a pretty unique one. So Peacock, thanks for being on our podcast.
Yeah, Colin, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So I want to just kind of start at the beginning, which is, how did you get interested in card counting?
It's an interesting story, because I'd say that it probably started with me becoming interested in blackjack more as a gambler, and not necessarily interested in learning the advantage plays. But I spent a long time, like many people, in casinos playing blackjack, not knowing what I was doing, there for entertainment purposes, and ultimately, you know, losing a lot of money. And the moment that I discovered, it started with Blackjack Apprenticeship. I was doing research after a trip to Vegas where I was trying to find double deck games. And just that led me to some searches and trying to learn some more advanced, blackjack techniques or whatnot. I stumbled onto this site. I liked what I saw. And here we are 4 years later, where, you know, I'm a multi boot camp attendee, and part of the community. So really interesting.
So you were just looking for, Googled or something, like advanced double deck techniques or something?
Yeah. So I started with what was I looking for? I was looking for double deck advanced plays, and I may have mistyped it. I may have mistyped it, and it came to, did you mean advantage plays?
Uh-huh.
And then next thing you know, I stumbled upon Blackjack Apprenticeship, started to doing a little bit of research, and then ultimately you signed up for a membership, and you and I had a call. And
yeah,
here we are.
I remember that. That's pretty interesting, because I think most people find us because they're actually looking for card counting or something like that, and you were just wanting to gamble better, basically.
Yeah, I wanted to learn a little bit more about the math behind the game, and then what I realized quickly was, wow, there's really not a way to beat this game by just gambling.
Yeah.
You have to learn more of the proper way to approach it, and one thing led to another. I'm really happy I did it, because I've lost a lot less money in the casino since then.
You've made money as a card counter, right?
That's right. I've taken money out of casinos. I've won money. We'll come to the tax implications later, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have a day job.
I do.
So that's one of the things that makes it interesting, I think, for myself, and at least a lot of people I know, they get into card counting to make some extra money, but you weren't really looking. Can you share anything? All I know is that you are a part of a large company, and every time I talk to you, it seems like you get some sort of a raise or like promotion. I don't know if you're in charge of the world yet, but can you share anything with us about what you do?
Sure. So I'm the president of a managed services provider, private equity owned. So I spent most of my career in corporate large companies, and this is more of a mid-sized company, but certainly keeps me busy. And I think the hobby of playing blackjack and gambling, it led me to, as I mentioned previously, the Blackjack Apprenticeship. But ultimately, I got to the point where it was more about being disappointed with the way that casinos take advantage of people. And it became almost less about making. It wasn't really about making money. It was more about beating the house and turning the math against the casino, and seeing if I could do it. But then after becoming effective, really enjoying the challenge of working as a group and being part of the community. So ultimately the plan was never to make it a living or make it a full time job. Although did end up on a small team here at the the recent history, but a little bit of a different journey than perhaps the everyday do it for a living type deal.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what was it? So you're interested in basically like losing less in casinos. Then you stumble into the advantage play world. What was it like? I think I can think for myself. I had this motivation of, oh man, if this works, that would be a huge benefit to my bottom line. What was it like for you kind of discovering, okay, I want to master this thing. I want to learn it and, you know, training, all that. What did that feel like, or what were you experiencing going through that part of the journey?
Yeah, I think initially I got enamored with, you know, the stories you read or the movies you see, and you think it's all glamour and you're winning every session, thousands or tens of thousands or more. And you don't realize the amount of work that, you know, that you need to put into it. And it's all about the long run. So in time, if you're perfect, your AV and EV should be pretty close. But along the way, you know, there are lots of bumps, and there's as much time you put into practicing and scouting games and planning out your risk versus EV, and is it a team? Is it, you know, something you can spend? Is it something you spend weekends doing or nights? Are you traveling? Are you local? There are all these considerations. So, you know, going through all that and then, you know, making it more of, there was just a lot of energy that had to be put into it on top of just, winning hands or winning sessions. So it was interesting. And the more I learned and the more I got into it, you know, the more kind of addictive it got. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can kind of scale out from there.
So addicted to like mastering the skill or proving that you could do it, or just like addicted to learning more about this, you know, whatever the stories or.
Yeah. Most of it is mastering it and being, you know, convincing myself that I could do it. Cause it's not, you could get it coming into it new. It's easy to get overwhelmed by all the big numbers and the math and the stories, and you could be intimidated. I could say, I remember turning up at one of the first boot camps. I didn't know what to expect, and I was expecting, you know, a bunch of folks who were masters of the domain and maybe arrogant. And I wanted to go because any recommendation I would make to anyone listening is attending a boot camp would be mandatory if you're going to make this a big part of, you know, what your blackjack career. But wanting to master it and convincing myself I could do it. Getting addicted to that. And then once you get into it, it's like, all right, well, I'm putting all this work into it. I want to apply it. And I want to go through, you know, a period of time where I can get to N0 on one spread and see how AV and EV looked and then have some experiences to share from it.
That's awesome. So I want to back up a little bit. People don't know this, but as I've gotten to know you over the last few years, you're somebody that I really respect and appreciate your input into my business, which is Blackjack Apprenticeship and, you know, stuff like that. So out of curiosity, I want to hear more. You were sharing your expectation with a boot camp. What did you find it to be relative to what you're expecting?
It was opposite in a lot of ways because what I found on my first one, I've been to five or six.
Wow.
I'll be attending the one coming up here in July as well. I think.
Hell yeah.
I always learn from them. Yep. But the, you know, what I experienced was a bunch of people wanting to help each other and wanting to learn. So even the experts, even the, you know, the instructors, I think in my first one, I know Colin, JC Note, Joe, mm-hmm. and others were there, and everyone was so willing to answer questions, so willing to help. The dealing sessions, your first ones are a little intimidating. You're like, wow, I don't know how my skills stack up against everyone else's, and I don't want to make a mistake. But you're there to make mistakes. You learn from your mistakes, and you know when you first join the forum and you start doing your initial basic strategy, mastering basic strategy and learning how to count. Like you make mistakes, you learn from them, you get better. You go to boot camp. You learn where the holes in your game are, and then you get better. And then you come back, and next time you're way better than you thought you even could be. So I had really positive experience, evidenced by the fact that I've been back a bunch of times. And I don't think that I could point to one session where there were any real jerks there. It was always a positive experience.
We've had, I can think of one jerk, but it's pretty rare. And I think that's just, usually by the time someone gets to a boot camp, they kind of know what we're about, which is hopefully being supportive and all that. I don't want this to sound like a puff piece or promoting a boot camp, so I want to move on. But it's helpful for me to hear, you know, what the experience is like, since, you know, put a lot of energy into it. But okay, so there's a story side. You're saying you're, you know, kind of enamored by the stories. And I remember Ben was a part of a thing called Entrepreneurs Organization. And these guys that a lot of them, they're like started or running these multi-million dollar companies. And some of these guys were worth, you know, tens of millions of dollars or more. And they were like completely fascinated with Ben's stories about card counting. And there was one of the guys said something like winning money is way more glamorous than making money or something like that. But what, I mean, was that some of the kind of attraction to you, since it wasn't so much the like trying to make an extra buck?
Yeah, I think it's the thrill of having big bets out there and having them go your way, and the idea of, you know, splitting tens into many hands and having the black and purple chips move from dealer to you, like those exciting times, or where you got to double down and it's face down and she flips it and you end up, you know, coming out on the right side of it. All those highs are what you get enamored with. And it's funny when you hear people tell stories, whether they're mostly gamblers will tell stories about large hands they won. Mm-hmm. Rarely, you know, maybe less frequently are they talking about huge, losses,
but never.
You don't talk about that. You're celebrating how great of a gambler you are.
Yeah.
Anyways, so those are the types of stories, and you think about it and you see the movies that a lot of the movies around winning teams and such, but that's what I was originally attracted to, and it led me to actually becoming a proper advantage player.
That's awesome. I actually just did a test out with a guy last week, and he was telling me how his family's like asking, you know, I think they're a little bit nervous with him learning how to play blackjack or whatever. It just sounds like a gambler. And he gets back from the casino and they're like, oh, how'd it go? And he's like, well, I lost, but I'm really happy because I played perfectly. And yep. he's like, that sounds so bad to them. Yeah. You know, like, yeah. Man, this guy's problem has really gotten bad, where he's like, you know, losing and saying he's happy, but they just don't get it.
Yep. It's funny though, but some people, when you can explain it to them, it's interesting. Maybe back to the difference between my career and blackjack versus others. So the company I run is private equity owned, and I've gotten comfortable enough with my board members to share these experiences. And we had a board meeting this week, in fact, and their first question they ask is, you know, you've been playing, how's it going?
Oh man.
So there are similarities between, you know, the math of blackjack and some of the techniques they use to make money. So we have really deep conversations, which tend to lead into the math side, but they always ask me, all right, well, tell me about this. What's the largest hand you won? What's the largest set, the largest winning session? Tell me some stories they like to hear about. They're enamored by surveillance. And I showed them, was nice enough to send me one of my OSN entries that had been added just to warn me about it. And I have it in my email. It's got a picture of me. It's got my bet, you know, my bet spread and all these things. So I showed it to them one time, and it's just, they keep bringing it up. It's just a funny example of how, you know, this world is just so different. And it's very interesting to people who aren't familiar with it.
Are they at all concerned, or do they love it?
No, they love it. They love it. Because I have to explain. I mean, the first, I introduced them to it by saying, number one, card counting, advantage play is not illegal. It's frowned upon by casinos because they want you to lose money. But once you got them comfortable with that and it made sense, then yeah, you know, it's more comfortable. But I can understand why initially people think, oh, it's bad. Oh,
yeah.
Why are they taking pictures of you? Why are they asking you to leave the casino? Well, the answer is because they don't want to lose money, and you're going to beat them if you're playing perfectly and you're there long enough.
I kind of have a feeling people in, maybe it depends what kind of corporate world, but at least in the, your company's not a startup, but I would just imagine people in that, in your world might understand it a little bit more. I remember I told a guy, it was like one of the dads from my son's little league team. He's like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, well, I count cards. I teach people how to count cards for a living. And is like, he's in the banking world. So immediately he's like, well, I would think that that's, you know, violating some sort of regulation. It was like, oh, it just doesn't, you know, doesn't think about it the right way. But it seems like at least people on your board get it.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. It's just, it's funny though. Sometimes when you know you're doing things correctly, but things aren't going your way,
yeah,
like you just described. You play perfectly, but you had a losing session. But along the while, you know, you turn up with, you know, with however much money you have for your session roll, but you keep pulling money out of your pocket to go, you know, to buy it for more. And to everyone around you, it's like, wow, this guy or girl has a problem. But no, you really don't. You're
yeah, you just got to keep firing those bets out there. You got the edge.
That's right. That's
right. So, do you see where are some other areas of overlap between advanced play and card counting and kind of more the executive world or, you know, your day job?
Yeah, I think, maybe one would be focus, because without focus, you cannot possibly count cards or proper, you know, advantage play is based on focus. And I translate that back into my corporate life and job, and companies that are focused on being great at certain things, like you know, whether it's client experience or if you're focused on you know, one set of products versus many, you tend to be more successful. You know, companies that have too many priorities, you can't balance them. You're trying to do too many things. That's not usually an effective way to drive. So, you know, and in fact, it was a little tough for me at the beginning to make sure that you're paying attention and you're very focused, and you have to use some techniques to make sure that you're not drifting, or even between you know, between rounds. At the beginning, I'd lose the running count just because I wasn't focused. And then eventually you build and you learn the techniques and you get perfect and you practice and that, you know, that's a direct similarity that, you know, I still use today in day-to-day business.
That's good. I just that reminded me, I just saw a business book, I think yesterday, and kind of the premise was there's like these different zones of expertise, like when you don't know anything and then you know a little bit, and then there's the third zone is like you're pretty good at something, like you're quite good, but this guy that wrote the book is saying that's really dangerous because you know, a lot of people can be good at something, but really the goal is to be excellent at something. And I'm like, oh, that's like card counting, you know, like if you're pretty good, it's actually more dangerous than not being good, because when you know you're not good, you know, you're not going to be a risk to yourself. But if you're pretty good, you can go out there with this false confidence and, you know, maybe you have some winning days, but if you just aren't excellent as a card counter, you know, so is it, I guess I see parallels to advantage play all over the place, I guess, if you're looking for it. Any other things?
Yeah. So on that last point, before I give you another one, it's like, if you're going to advise someone, if someone asks, what should I do if I'm going to a casino, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like, number one, don't go.
Yeah.
You have to go and just watch, don't play. If you're not going to listen to that and you're going to play, then go buy a basic strategy card if you don't have time to memorize it, and play table minimum, and that's it. Because people just, you know, a lot of times people can't help themselves.
Yeah, man, everybody's an expert at the blackjack tables. So painful.
Exactly. I think maybe the other one would just be, you know, staying within your means, not trying to do too much, you know, with in corporate life and in business in general, like, just knowing what your limitations are, not trying to do too much, just, you know, staying grounded. I think it's the same thing sometimes in advantage play, and just knowing what your game plan is, knowing what you're there to do. Don't deviate from your plan. There's no such thing as gut instinct. You're there with a plan, execute the plan. And then, you know, when it's time to go, it's time to go. So if you're starting to get tired, don't push it too much, and stick to the game plan. I think that's probably another good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. It made me think of another, which is to measure look back at decisions based on if you generated EV, not on the result. I feel like there are plenty of things where, you know, I made a decision. It didn't like go great, but rather than looking at every loss as a mistake, looking at, well, did I generate EV, you know?
Yep. Like, yep. Exactly right. Exactly. It's a good one. So one of the functions that I'm responsible for is our sales function. And there's a lot of data that enable us to make correct decisions. Are you going to win every deal? No.
Yeah.
But you have certain trends and things that you look at to put yourself in the best position to be successful. You can go back after a lost deal or a lost engagement and say, okay, well, I did these 12 things and everything that was within my control, I controlled. The things that are beyond my control, you know, it is what it is, and you know, learning from it. So it's probably yet another parallel.
Totally. I haven't talked much about this. I mentioned it to you, but that I recently wrote a book and working on getting it published and going back and forth with the publisher. But you know, before I decided to do it, I just thought of it in terms of EV. Like, what's the EV, you know, of writing this book? Is it gonna be positive EV for my business, but is it going to be positive EV for people? And even like, this is a little bit, you know, maybe OCD, but like I even calculated a EV that I expected to generate with writing a book. And, you know, I definitely wouldn't have thought that way before card counting.
Yeah. Well, I have no doubt that your AV will exceed EV. So that's great.
Oh, I hope so. Thanks. So would you say you've been doing this 4 years now? Is that right?
That's right. There and abouts. Yep.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about like casinos and just seeing the way they operate, but would you, maybe that answers this question, maybe not, but what would you say the things that attracted you to card counting and advantage play in the beginning are the same things that, you know, still attract you to beating the house?
That's a good question. The things that originally attracted me were like the glamour of winning and walking out or winning hands and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. It's almost, I think like the opposite is actually true. It's like, I want to defeat the house that puts people in these horrible situations. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, you know, it's almost like a game that you want to win, to beat the evil empire that's out there.
Yeah.
Like even if you look at, and if you look at how casinos are configured, and one of the main lessons learned that I've taken over the past few years is, you know, most of my gambling career, I'm not proud to say this, but most of my gambling career before I converted to advantage play was spent in casinos, probably, you know, with alcohol, not really paying attention. So you don't really, you don't recognize your surroundings. And as you evolve and learn the game and over the, you know, over my my advantage play career, like I spent a lot of time in casinos and being very aware of my surroundings. And what do I see? I see a lot of people that shouldn't be there. I see a lot of people gambling, doing, you know, horrible things, smoking, drinking, which everyone's entitled to make those choices on their own, but probably to excess. And then you see the casinos not discouraging people when they've had too much to drink.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, taking advantage of people. Even the way that the games that have the best house odds for them are set up strategically to be in your face as you walk in. So all that, you know, to come back long-winded answer to your question is like, that's kept me motivated to say, you know what, someone, we collectively have to stand up to this and not let that that business model succeed.
I want to take a quick moment and talk about the Blackjack Apprenticeship membership. If you haven't checked it out, you really don't know what you're missing. There is everything you need to train, find community, and get the tools you need as a card counter. There's a test out drill in the training suite. And if you aren't testing your skills regularly, you really shouldn't be playing a casino. There's an entire video course that covers the basics all the way to more advanced stuff like cover, team play, casino relations. There's betting software, a forum, a chat room with regional chat rooms to meet with local APs, as well as results tracking software and members only podcasts. So check it out at blackjackapprenticeship.com.
Indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fact that they, like, their carpentry is designed to disorient you, you know, like the design, everything, their marketing, it's, people say, oh, well, it's entertainment. Well, they're not trying to entertain you. they're trying to prey on you, and it's okay. Well, that's fine. But then when you've been on the side that we've been on and like see how they treat, you know, treat someone that actually uses their brain, takes the time to play a game well, you know, you have any stories that come to mind about casino reactions?
Yeah, I would say my experience and my advice would be that I think back offs, even trespasses, go as well as you know, how you handle them. You know it's coming. Whether you know it's coming, it's just a matter of time. So there were a couple times where I was in a casino in the Midwest, and I had been in and out several times. And the most recent time I was in there, I didn't even place a bet, and I was immediately met on the floor by security, who escorted me out and trespassed me. And the funny part about the whole thing is you could look at it and, like, and say, okay, I'm getting escorted out of a casino by security. I had been placed one bet and I haven't been here in however many months. And he didn't even know why he was escorting me out. And when I mentioned to him as I was leaving that I guess I said something like, I guess they don't like advantage players here. He started chuckling. He couldn't believe it. So it was funny.
Man.
So you have those, and then you have other ones where the pit or security, whoever it is, take it a little bit too far, and they're the ones that make it a hard situation. So I think there are a couple of casinos in Las Vegas that aren't too happy with my presence, and some of those situations didn't go quite as well. But either way, it's part of the deal, and you know, you just need to know what your rights are. You need to know how to handle people, and just be nice. Just be nice, and that's the best way to make it go.
So when you say take it too far, like they haven't physically done anything.
No, just the verbal part of it, and making, you know, making it more of a scene than it needs to be.
Yeah,
as well as making it seem to others who are around that it's something more than it is. So we know that this is perfectly legal. We also know that the casino is private property and they have the right to deny, deny access, deny entry. But there are so many uneducated people even working for the casino that it's, you know, sometimes less pleasant than we'd like it.
Yeah. I know I've told this story before, but it just always comes to my mind. I got backed off at a casino and there's like 15 security guards. Like, you know, what are they expecting me to do? Like to dart across the floor and try to place a bet, you know?
Right.
Like to, you know, go Jackie Chan on them. Like, I just don't know what they're even expect. It just seemed like completely inappropriate response to someone playing blackjack well.
But yeah, it's whatever. Unbelievable.
So we don't have to get into anything too personal, but I remember you one time saying something about, like, you kind of came from a rougher background and that you're scrappy and that plays into enjoying this. Is that true?
Yeah, I think, I had a up and down childhood, so experienced some positive times, but went through some really hard times growing up, which at least in my case taught me, to value what you have and also work really hard because nothing's going to be given to you. So that application here is, I looked at it as a real challenge when I first turned up at a boot camp. I was like, wow, I have a lot to learn. I left there feeling like, well, I thought I knew more about this than I really do. And I put a lot of work into to training. And ultimately, you know, the reward on the back end of it isn't about winning money. It, to me, it's about knowing, you know, getting tested out at boot camp and then applying skills in a casino and then watching AV and EV work themselves out over a really long period of time. So the dollars didn't make it as much of a reward for me personally. You do want to take money out of casinos, which was my mission. But at the same time, it was like the reward now is, wow, I was able to do it. That's great. And, you know, just recognizing all the hard work paying off and, you know, the teamwork and collaboration with the folks that were involved with my journey.
Yeah, that's great. That's actually, really good point. I think some people get into card counting thinking it's going to be easy money. And, you know, we've talked about it plenty of times before. It's not easy money. Like, it's good money. At least, you know, in my opinion, it's, you know, I calculated, $432 an hour for my career. Like that's, to me, that's good money. But I'm not afraid of hard work. So, you know, if you're afraid of the hard work it's going to take to master card counting and not just master it, but actually put in the hours at the casino to be on a trip and to be tired and to say, you know, I want to get a few more hours in. If you're afraid of that, then, you know, look for another way to make a buck. But, if you're not afraid of hard work, you know, or I guess I'd say you can't be afraid of hard work if you want to be a card counter. And, to someone with your background, and I would say in a lot of ways myself in high school, I had a couple jobs all at the same time. You know, there's something exciting about working hard and then seeing the fruit of that hard work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. So a few more questions and then I'll let you go. But any advice for people that are interested in becoming a card counter or are earlier on in the journey?
Yep. I would say first part is, using the tools that you have access to become perfect and learn, you know, from others that are in a similar situation, is, you know, boot camp for me was a huge step, and I left there, I feel like way better off than I had thought I would be. And then leveraging the resources that you have with, you know, the tools. So, forum and meeting other people that are in a similar situation. I think that was really good. The other thing I'd say is once you do get to the point where you are, you're able to play live in a casino and you're comfortable with it. If I had to do it again, I would not have gone. I almost felt like I had something to prove I wanted to be obvious enough that I would get noticed to validate my skills. And that was a really bad choice. Because the casino doesn't matter, but when I was a gambler, I played high limit in a double deck game in one of the strip casinos. And one of my first or second times out, I was, you know, spreading way too much in, you know, high limit double deck game, and it got me flagged. And, you know, it was, you know, I probably could have had a better, opportunity to take advantage of the juicier double deck games if I didn't go, you know, so aggressively in that set of circumstances. Mm-hmm. But I think you know, if depending on what your bankroll is and the games you play, there are plenty of opportunities to play. So there's no reason to make a spectacle in one place. It's just stick to your game plan and you'll be fine.
Awesome. So I know one of the challenges that you've had, and this might apply to other people that have a pretty good income, especially geographically for you, I think, is the whole tax situation. Can you kind of dive into that at all?
Yeah, sure. So again, I'll qualify this by saying my main motivation wasn't to earn money, but I wanted to prove that it could be done, and ultimately teamed up with one of our members, S. Deeds, goes by, and we had a great, you know, great setup, small team. We put a lot of work, a lot of energy into it, and ultimately, what I realized from a tax standpoint is, unless you can file your taxes as a professional gambler, it's really difficult to make money. What do I mean by that? It's like you can win money in a casino. However, if you have a W-2, as an example, you're not going to be able to deduct any of your expenses. So all your travel costs, your food, you know, hotels. Okay, so that comes out of your AV. And then if you're unlucky enough to live in a state like Illinois, you can't net your losses against your wins in a year. So for example, if you win $1,000 in a casino one night and lose $500 the next night, you're paying state taxes on $1,000, not the $500 net. So in my personal situation, and even as a team, in this case, the taxes were a real burden. Now, at the end of the day, I looked at our journey. SDs and I were in a team situation for about a year. We ended up exceeding AV.
That's awesome.
Don't matter. Yeah, AV exceeded EV. The numbers don't matter. Yeah. It was a successful journey, and you know, forget the taxes. In our case, it wasn't as huge of a deal. But if you're going into it without doing all that research, at the end of the year, you're going to look back and you're going to be really disappointed or worse. So I'd make sure to do the research ahead of time.
Yeah, I think it depends on the situation you're in, because the first couple of years that I played, I didn't file as a professional because, you know, even I think my second year I made, you know, something like $60,000, but it still didn't like qualify. There wasn't the regularity and whatever. And it was actually way better tax wise. So disclaimer, I'm not a tax professional. This is not tax advice. But you know, my wife and I were also on a low tax bracket and in a state with no state income tax. And so your situation was different in that you're in a higher tax bracket, at least than I was, and you're in a state with state income tax, and on top of that, you're trying to run it as a business with a lot of overhead, being a team, and you covering all the expenses. So I guess, you know, bottom line is what you said, which is like do the research, like contact Russ Fox, who's in Vegas, if you want to do this, you know, professionally, just to make sure it's going to make sense if you're going to have a lot of expenses for it. But I remember having those conversations with you, and it was a bummer, you know, but it was just kind of all the, you know, pieces of the equation you were in. It was like, you know, not as profitable as it could have been because of all the other tax implications.
Yeah. And also with that too, is depending on all the research upfront, like you just said, and then also the keeping track of all your sessions accurately, that when I did talk to Russ, I was already doing it, but I would recommend just making sure you're keeping good records of what you're doing. So you can go back and retrace your steps. You know, be careful of CTRs, and, you know, just know that there are cameras everywhere. So just mindful of it. It's not something you want to mess around with, in my opinion.
Jeez. Yeah. Someone just asked me today about like using a device to count for you in a casino. And there's this app where you can, and it's like, yeah, you could, but don't do it. It's just not worth it. I feel the same way with the tax stuff, you know, like avoiding CTRs, just don't do it. It's not, you know, the risk is just way too high if you're going to screw with the IRS or whatever.
That's right.
So you've played all over the U.S. Have you played, you know, any hot spots? Have you played anywhere outside the U.S.?
I have. Recently I was in London, and there, you know, I did some research. I talked to and a couple other members about what the, I wasn't quite sure what the laws are outside the country. And mm-hmm. You know, the UK, there's been some recent news with Phil Ivey and some of his court decisions had me worried. So I was able to play in London. They have four deck games there, which which is good. The European no hole card is a little bit different, so you just have to learn the charts and slightly different deviations. I was able to play, and I put a couple sessions in. I didn't sit on it too long just because I wasn't quite sure. They were certainly watching the action. So that was, if you're going to play outside the country, the recommendation would be look up members. I think been traveling all over Europe. He had a huge map last time I saw him of places. So I would talk to him and talk to others to get local knowledge. Make sure you're aware. The other thing I'd recommend is if you're carrying a lot of money internationally, make sure that you're just aware of it. And I think if you're coming in with more than 10,000, you have to file paperwork and such. Yep. So I think Colin, you mentioned that you guys had money confiscated at the border at some point.
Yeah. Going into Canada. Some guys on our, so I think we've talked about this before. I know we have some videos in the video course that cover this specifically, but, the bottom line is if you're going internationally with more than 10,000, whether it's like leaving the US or reentering the US, you have to declare it both to the country you're leaving and the country you're entering. So these guys on our team, they're playing Detroit or something, and they decided to try Canada, and they declared the money entering Canada, but they had forgotten to, or they didn't know to declare it to the US leaving the US. So then when they get back into the US, they declare their money and the border's like, you didn't have this $110,000, when you left the US. They're like, yeah, we did. They said, well, you didn't declare it, and we'll just take that money and you can prove to us that it's yours. And we spent like 3 months, compiling this massive report. We got it back and they fined us $10,000. They didn't explain the fine at all. They just fined us $10,000, but we were able to get, 100 of it back. It was just like a total nightmare just because they didn't follow or didn't understand the procedure.
Yep.
So, other than that stuff, I haven't played in London. What do you think of the casinos or?
I thought it was great. I mean, the game was great. Just check out Casino 401. I put a couple entries in. I'll update them just to make sure. But they're four deck games. The experience is really, they're more posh. They're just nicer facilities. People less of some of the unfortunate people you see in the middle of the night in casinos in some parts of the U.S.
Yeah.
Really nice higher end, and the games are good. I mean, it's a four deck game with a little bit less than a deck cut off, which is good. And I think I probably could have stayed longer. I ended up doing pretty well. I just didn't want to push it. In fact, a quick story here. One of the reasons I left was I was playing and I wanted to make sure that if anything happened, I had evidence of it, if I was getting harassed, or if I was getting, so I had my iPhone with me and I put it on record. And what I realized was I looked down and I actually had the phone on the table. And in my mind, I'm saying to myself, I'm like, okay, am I now committing some type of violation by recording a game, or are they going to misunderstand it or misinterpret it? So I was like, you know what? This is probably not worth all this anxiety. I don't know all the laws. Let me just move on before, before we agitate anyone. So another piece of advice, don't have your phone out. Don't record anything in there. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Did they make you wear a sports coat?
I had one on anyway. I was in the office, but they do, in fact, actually one good point about at least casinos in London, they're all private clubs and you need to register. So they know who you are, that you have to give them your passport on your way in. And they make you register. They make you fill out forms and they ask you questions. Have you ever been banned from a casino, or have you ever been kicked out for cheating or something like that? And at that, my answers were no, I hadn't. Yeah. Hadn't been backed off in the casino there, so it was fine. But when I was leaving after that little situation, the entire time between then and the time I left the country, I'm thinking to myself, if they go, check the tapes and understand that, I was moving money with the count, is that a problem? Is it a violation? And, they knew who I am. So turning up at the airport wondering if there were some folks in suits wanting to talk to me, but it turned out to be fine. And I think Joe proved that there are plenty of games in Europe. So I'd look him up before, if you're going to plan on playing in Europe.
That's awesome. Yeah. I went into a couple casinos in Germany, but I didn't have bankroll with me, so I didn't get to play, but I did have to borrow a sports coat just to walk through there.
They're higher end. Yeah. And there's not a lot of yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
It's good time.
So last question for you, what if anything, do you think you would have done differently looking back?
Yeah, I think the point I was hitting before is one of them would be just as you get into playing live games, just be aware of, I think there are plenty of games to play. So I'm not suggesting that getting put into one of the databases or being bio or OSN or whatever they are. I mean, if you play long enough, you're going to be in there. But I would have just moved more slowly into that. Which would allow just a little bit more latitude. Mm-hmm. I'd also just make sure you're perfect. And when you start going into live games, you don't have to immediately go into the highest spread your bankroll can tolerate. Less than 1% risk, as little risk as possible, especially as you're getting comfortable, because 3-4% risk doesn't seem like a lot, but when you watch, some of the actual results, you have to tolerate the swings,
and yep.
until you go through it, at least I can speak for myself, until you go through wild swings, you have to manage losing confidence. You have to make sure that you're practicing. You have to make sure that you're playing perfectly. And sometimes if you have a bunch of losing sessions in a row, it can happen even if you're playing perfectly. So there's no reason to introduce more risk in the equation because you want to, you want to push your bank over the limits. Keep your risk around low.
That's a really good point. I've maybe shared this before, but when someone tested out for the church team, they'd proven that they could play perfectly at home and in a casino. But even then, we gave them a limited bet spread. They could go up to, I think, two spots of 200 for something like 40 hours. And then we'd, let them graduate to betting up to two spots of 500 for another 40 or 80 hours, something like that, because you're going to be a different card counter when you have, 80 or 100 hours under your belt than right when you kind of test out. And then we would let people, play higher limit stuff. But I think that's a really valid point, that just because your game is perfect doesn't mean you need to go, all out. Like, just get some hours under your belt, get some confidence, and you will be much better 100 hours after tested out than right at the beginning. And the risk thing too, you got your brains in your bankroll. Don't overexpose your bankroll.
Yeah. With that, maybe the second thing I would say there is make sure that the games that you plan to play, you practice. Mm-hmm. So I like to play my own personal situation is I knew I don't have thousands of hours to play. So I want the highest EV with reasonable, low risk, double deck games. I like to play the premium games, but deck estimation is different in double deck than it is in six deck, than it mm-hmm. is in eight deck. Practice them. Buy the discard trays. You can buy the discard trays on Amazon really, really cheap. Mm-hmm. Practice them. If you plan to play pitch versus heads up double deck, it's a different process. It's a different game. So make sure that you're going to practice the actual game that you're going to play, because you get into a live situation and you'd be surprised how quickly you can lose concentration if you're not, familiar with it.
Absolutely. Awesome. Anything else you want to share with people before we hop off?
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. And, just advise everyone, use the resources that you have and stick with it. It can be done. The math works. Mm-hmm. Look forward to next boot camp in July.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks so much for getting on this call and sharing your story. I think there are going to be some people that can relate to it. I know we've had other people with similar situation as you, but you've definitely done it at a very high level and successfully, and you've become, a really great person to have at boot camps and person to keep in touch with. So thanks for sharing your story with people. And for those that want to find out more about card counting and beating the casino, that's what we're about at Blackjack Apprenticeship. You can check out all of our resources, and I'll just leave it at that. Thanks a lot.